For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At the stick, from who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am one of your hosts, Mark Adams of 49ers Camelot, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Robertson of 49ers Cutback. How's it going, Ant?
It's going well. It's that time of the year. The draft is upon us, which means it's the time of lies, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. There are players getting reportedly removed from boards. There's players reportedly being shipped out from San Francisco with all the reports that are going around. Nothing changes. All I know is that once we lock into the draft, it's going to be a lot of fun, because I think there's going to be a lot of movement early on in the draft, which is going to be fun. Doesn't really affect the 49ers until we get to the later part, but this has all the makings of one of those exciting times. Whenever you throw in a bunch of eligible quarterbacks, teams act a little funny, and that makes it fun.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of lying, lots of overreacting, lots of craziness. Josh is here in the chat with us. How's it going, Josh? Good to have you in here. We are going to get into our very own mock draft here later, the very first mock draft in the history of the Red and Bold Show. So considering that we're kind of new at doing this together anyway, so it stands to reason that it's our first one. But hey, we're going to jump into that. Before we get in, and see, Freddie is in the chat as well. What's up, Freddie?
What's up, Freddie?
Wanted to discuss just for a few minutes the things that John Lynch said, and also a few things that Fred Warner said as well on Monday. So John Lynch, among the things that he talked about, doesn't anticipate trading Brandon Ayuk, which, I mean, what else is he going to say? I wouldn't expect him to go, yeah, there's a good possibility. He said that Ayuk has not been present for the offseason program. No big surprise there, so that's nothing to fret over. He said that the 49ers have received calls about him and other players as well. Again, it's the season of lying. Not saying that John Lynch is lying, but this happens a lot. So, again, nothing to get stressed out over. He wouldn't answer the question regarding Ayuk's agent being given permission to seek a trade. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because the question was asked about Ayuk's agent. Have the 49ers given Ayuk's agent permission to seek a trade? And Lynch said, you know, I don't want to go into that. So thought that was kind of interesting. And he said that he might consider moving out of round one. I think that by and large, the fan base is going to hate that, especially because the 49ers have been without a first round pick since 2021 when they drafted Trey Lance. What did you think about Lynch's comments? Anything in particular jump out to you?
Like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. Listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, the game starts here.
Not really. I think when it came to the way that he was handling the situation with Brandon Ayuk, it was very similar to the way that they handled the Deebo Samuel situation before that draft. And I think it was very clear the same way it was with Deebo. It was going to take a lot to be able to change their mind about keeping their player. He said he wants to see Brandon Ayuk play in San Francisco for the rest of his career. And I think Brandon Ayuk has echoed that, you know, through other channels, his brother saying that. I think they want to get something done. But with all players and with all things, you listen to what somebody has to say, because every once in a while, a team comes through with some offer you weren't expecting. They covet that player so much, they're willing to give you a huge haul. So he's saying the right things. He's doing the right things. This is what general managers have to do at this point of time, because as much as you want to be a guy that's transparent, you also want to respect the agent. You want to respect the player and not speak on things, not speak on their business. And so I think this is one of those things. They're doing a good job as far as coming to the end of the first round and trading out. I think that is a legit possibility. And I brought that up on the show a couple of times, because when you get to 31, the difference between a player at 31 and a player at, say, 38, is not that big of a difference. If one of those guys you don't have a first round grade on doesn't fall to 31, yeah, you have players grouped up right there and a lot of good ones. If you could pick up a mid round pick and then a couple mid round picks to come back up into the top 50 later and get maybe a guy at like 37, 38, and then get a guy in the top 50, then you really help your football team. Two in the top 50 is better than one. And so I think the 49ers could possibly do that. I like that angle a lot. So being willing and pliable to do that is exactly what you have to do as a GM.
Yeah, Freddie asked, any idea how much BA is asking for 25-30? What the Lions gave St. Brown a new contract today. I think that's for like 30 a year. So if Ayuk was in the 25 area, he's now in the 30 area. That's my guess, because I would say he's a better receiver than St. Brown. You know, I don't know if everybody would agree with that, but I think I would take Ayuk. So if St. Brown is getting 30, then I definitely can see Ayuk saying that he deserves that.
I think what we need to look at, too, is the guaranteed money. That's the money that you really need to pay attention to. He got $77 million in guaranteed money. The 120 is a lofty thing. He's never going to see all $120 million. They'll rework that deal before he ever gets there. But $77 million is a number. And remember that Deebo Samuel, when he signed his new deal, got $58.1 million in guaranteed money. So you're not talking about a big difference. Deebo's deal, a three-year deal. St. Brown's deal, a four-year deal. $19 million more in guaranteed money. To me, a lot of people are saying this is bad for the 49ers. I'm looking at it guaranteed money-wise, like maybe the structure's there to get Brandon Ayuk to a contract that is around $77 to $80 million guaranteed. That's not too bad, considering it just depends on length of contract. And that's going to be something important. But I don't think the structure was as crazy as a lot of people are making it sound. It's not as dire for the 49ers as it looks.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Josh said 16 gold helmet guys and 22 first round grades, Lynch said as well. So yeah, that's good information that Lynch shared. He's always more transparent than I think most GMs are. And Kyle's kind of the same way. You know, you go back to the balky Harbaugh days, those guys didn't tell you anything. They wouldn't tell you what they had for lunch. And so the current regime is definitely more open with the information that they share, but especially Harbaugh, man, that guy was so secretive. He didn't want anybody around. He was always afraid that somebody was going to get a competitive advantage over the 49ers. I miss Jim Harbaugh. I love Kyle Shanahan, but I miss Harbaugh. He just was, and I didn't cover the team back then. Now I do, and I think it would be a lot more fun to cover. Not that they're not great at giving us things to talk about, for sure. Here's what Fred Warner said on Monday. He was surprised by the Eric Armstead release. Said that he likes Nick Sorensen, the new defensive coordinator. said that he did a great job with the ball sessions. He also likes that he played in the NFL. Said that he's a great leader, commands the room. I liked hearing that. Said that he knows the system. I don't know if that was a jab at the past defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. I kind of doubt it. I don't see Warner taking a jab at him. But he didn't give Brandon Staley quite the same endorsement, but admits that he really doesn't know him that well. So anything in Warner's statements that that jumped out at you? I definitely liked hearing him say that Nick Sorensen commands the room because we don't know Sorensen. We haven't – I mean, we know Brandon Staley more than we know Nick Sorensen. And so hearing the star linebacker say that he's a great leader, that he commands the room, I really like hearing that.
Yeah, it actually doesn't surprise me. I mean, just hearing all the things that the Seattle Seahawks player said about Nick Sorensen when he signed to come to San Francisco originally, they were very complimentary of him. So to me, this was a guy that made a lot of sense because when players are usually standing for you, it means you're doing something right. They trust you. They believe in you. And so Fred Warner coming out and saying that is a good start. That's exactly what you have to have when you're having a little bit of a change at the position. And let's be honest, last year was definitely a state of flux. I'm not sure the players were ultimately as comfortable with Steve Wilks and Steve Wilks' way of calling defense compared to what they had with solid D'Amico Ryan. So a return to that way and a glowing endorsement from your captain definitely gets you moving in the right direction. Fred Warner said the things that you expect him to say as a good leader, and I think that we're going to see a good relationship there. I do like, too, that he didn't blow smoke up anyone's behind about Staley. It's like, No, we're getting to know each other right now. This is real. And I think that there's going to be some good things that come from Staley. And Staley, because of some of the players that have come to the 49ers organization, I think the players are going to like him. And I think there's going to be a good relationship between him and Sorensen. So I'm actually very excited about what this incarnation of the 49ers defense could look like, including new wrinkles like Josh Butt up a 3-4 flare. Maybe there will be some little interesting things that are different compared to what we saw from D'Amico that will just take it to another level. I would love to see that from the 49ers defense.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do on defense. Hopefully they get back to their style of play because the defense that we saw last year, early in the season, they were dominant. But, well, that's not entirely true. They were dominant. Gosh, I almost knocked my table over. They were dominant for much of the first year. I mean, that Rams game, that what was that, the second game of the season or third game? I can't remember. But they couldn't stop Matthew Stafford and those guys. So there just seemed to be something missing last year, and I hope that they get back to that. And some of the free agents that they picked up make me think that they're getting back to that style of defense. And then the fact that they hired Sorensen to keep that system intact gives me some hope that they're going to get back to their ways. A couple of interesting things here. Let's see. I think it was this one. Spy Nick Danger said, trade Ayuk for multiple picks. Niners aren't paying Ayuk $30 million. So that's an interesting take. I don't know if they're going to pay him that or not, but I go down to – where is this other – oh, yeah, Josh here said, trade Ayuk and you punt this season. They're not winning the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk, I don't think. I think they'll be a contender, but are they going to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know everyone understands this is a business, especially within the 49ers organization and locker room, but you already had a big loss on the defensive side of the ball. Arik Armstead's gone, and you know Fred Warner talked about that. He was surprised that that happened. I think they would be as surprised or more surprised if Brandon Ayuk got traded and then he moved on, because there is a belief in that locker room that they can go win a Super Bowl. That's what's going to be their mindset. Trading players that can help you do that is not what you want at this time. You want guys that can come in and help. And one of the things John Lynch talked about is knowing that you know, being cognizant of the fact you need to bring in players to help right now and in the future. And I think you got to really be careful trading players away and possibly losing your opportunities. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to have with this particular core. And I think getting rid of Brandon Ayuk in a trade could be a bad situation. But I think Spidenick Danger's right. They don't want to pay him $30 million per year, but I think it comes down to guaranteed money. I think sometime they'll get it worked out somewhere around $27 million per season, maybe even $65 to $70 million in guaranteed money. I think this thing's going to get done. It's just it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the our draft here. We talked about how this was our very first live draft that we're doing here on the Red and Bold Show, so the mock draft. So let's get in that. The 49ers have 10 picks Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Five of those.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So half of the picks are compensatory picks. One is from the Trey Lance trade, and so only four are the original draft picks. So that kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting to see, as I was writing these down, so many picks that weren't the 49ers' actual original picks. But they like to trade. They like to trade away. They like to bring in guys like Christian McCaffrey. So they're never sitting back and just waiting for things to happen. They like to go make things happen. So let's get into this. I'm going to share your screen here. Let me see if I can find a better. I think we can see a little bit better here. So everybody should be able to see Ant's screen. So let's just jump in and see what happens. The 49ers' first pick is in the first round at number 31.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and we'll get this thing started. We know the 49ers aren't going to trade up very high, and we can see the quarterbacks going off the board. We get Joe Alt in the top 10. Now Fashanu, that's two of the offensive tackles. Brock Bowers goes. So let's see. We got Fontenot going there. Now Jared Verse. So there's four tackles. Five tackles, not J.C. Latham, which is interesting. There he goes in the top 21. 49ers aren't going to trade up that far. So, I mean, Byron Murphy right now and Cooper DeJean are the top players. So we're going to let this thing run. I don't think they're trading up to get one of those guys. Byron Murphy goes there and Ladd McConkey. So we're going to get a trade offer from Pittsburgh. Doesn't look very enticing. I'm not getting anything. That's 20 picks. That's a long ways to fall. Now New England pick 34 and a third rounder. That's not terrible because you could use that third rounder to come back up. But Carolina 39-101, that's not bad. So you're going back eight spots. So let's look at the board. And I mean, we know we're not going quarterback. That's for sure.
Wouldn't that be scandalous if they did that? Would. Imagine the fan base.
Yeah, and we got Tyler Guyton on the board, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma. I'm not as big a fan as him as a lot. Adonai Mitchell, I really like him a lot. I've taken him in a mock draft before. Now, this is where 49er fans love to live. Kingsley Suomatia out of BYU, the offensive tackle, Jordan Morgan, and Christian Hayes, but also Zach Frazier. So there's all these guys right here potentially that you could get if you're looking offensive linemen. I mean, to me, off a wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell is very hard to pass up here because he's a guy that I have a first-round grade on. And I think anytime you have a first-round grade on someone and they're there at 31, you have to be potentially ready to move on them. So to me, he's the number one guy, but I know a lot of people are going to be very interested in these guys here. I just don't think that these guys are first-round guys. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think as far as offensive line, I don't think that they're first-round guys. I even Zach Frazier, even though I like him, I think he's a second-round guy. So I'm very, very close to just pulling the trigger on A.D. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, and just being like, you know what, let's go. Let's add him to the fold And then when we have wide receiver problems in the future, you know, with Juwan Jennings moving on, well, next year you have, you know, Adonai Mitchell. If you want to make a decision about Debo next year, you have Adonai Mitchell. I kind of like that pick. Marks, what's your thoughts on wide receiver at 31?
I definitely think that that is a possibility. When we talk about next year, and I do think that the 49ers are going to, because you and I talked, if the 49ers draft someone in the first round who is going to be a starter in 2024, which side of the ball will that will they fall on? And we agreed that that would be on the defensive side of the ball. So whoever they draft in the first round, unless it's a corner, or if they went safety, which I don't think that they would go safety in the first round, but if they do pick somebody that's going to be a starter, I would think it's going to be a corner. But I do like how this is kind of laid out, because I think that receiver is a sneaky need this season and a definite need next season. They're going to lose Juwan Jennings. They might move on from Debo Samuel. So, because they're going to be paying Brock Purdy a buttload of money. And so I don't know what's going to happen to Debo. So I'm all for picking a stud receiver right here.
Yeah, because I think if we take Adonai Mitchell, he's the number one guy on our board, at least for me, this would be the number one guy that I would have on the board. You can address cornerback later. There's guys in the second round you could get. Of course, we might be looking offensive line, but to me, this is one of those ones. This is a home run type player, a guy that can make big plays. I know that there's some teams that are questioning some things about him, but I'm not privy to any of that information. I just see a really good football player. So I think we're going to go ahead and go Adonai Mitchell with pick 31.
All right.
It's a done deal. Now we're moving through the board. Let's see how this thing goes. See if we have to trade up to potentially get someone. Zach Frazier just went. There goes Kingsley. So we're seeing some of the guys go off. Michael Penix Jr. is still available. Wow, poor guy's dropping like crazy. he's all the way to 50, you know, and we've got him going. Patrick Paul goes. There's rumors. He thinks he's going up. There goes Xavier Leggett. He would be an option for the 49ers in the second round, but it looks like we're going to go. There goes Mike Sainer still. So that was the best nickel corner in the draft, and he just went at pick 59. And guess who? The Houston Texans. Makes a lot of sense, him going there with D'Amico. There are other corners, so trading up there might not have been, you know, the best move. So here's Minnesota offering a trade. They want us to give up 63 and 215 for 108 and 129. That's a steep drop. And then Houston wants us to drop as well and give us an extra third-round pick. I'm going to push pause on those because I think there's some good players here. First off, I don't know how Michael Penix is still here, even though 49ers aren't going quarterback. But here's Rook Orohoro out of Clemson. Very nice defensive tackle. So you got good defensive tackles here. You got Rook. You got Chris Jenkins. We're not interested in Malachi Corley because he's a receiver. And we already went receiver. Here's Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle from Washington. This would be not a complete reach. I think he's a third-round grade, but you're at the end of the third round, so he could potentially make sense if we want to address offensive tackle. And then there's some guys that I really like right here. Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia, I think would be a dynamite player because he could come in and step in and play safety and some nickel corner. And one of my favorite nickel corners in the entire draft, Andrew Phillips, who might not be available at pick 94. So depending on what we do in this pick, we might have to come up from 94 and get someone else. And a lot of people in chat are saying, get Rook. You know, Rook is definitely one of the favorites. What's your thoughts, Mark? We talked about defense a little bit. You got Rook Orohoro. He's really athletic, good first step, big defensive tackle, you know, 6'4", you know, 300 plus pounds, or a Roger Rosengarten who Chris Foerster just worked out last week.
Yeah, that's a tough one because they're going to take a defensive tackle. I just believe that with everything in me, that's going to be something they're going to do. And we're looking at you know, again, I'm thinking next season. And so that defensive line that we're looking at this year is going to look a little different next year. So I definitely think that they could pick with next year in mind. Will they do it this high? I don't know. Boy, in the chat, they're kind of, there's some saying Rosengarten, multiple ones saying Rook. Most of them are saying Rook. So I would go with the defensive tackle.
Yeah, they're definitely, you know, going that direction. You know, this is one of those things where it's also, you know, how do the 49ers draft? 49ers love to stack defensive linemen. And the cry from everyone, you know, in 49ers land is you need an offensive lineman. And, you know, I just don't know if the 49ers are going to go offensive line as high as everyone thinks. I think they're higher on. Now, I do think they like Roger Rosengarten, but can they pass on a guy like Rook Orohoro, who fits the system so well? 6'4", 294. I mean, the guy is a guy that has inside versatility. I like him a lot. I think he's a great player. I have a third-round grade on Roger Rosengarten. I don't mind Rosengarten here because it's the first round or into the second round, so it's basically third round. But if I was drafting with a 49ers thought process, I think Rook Orohoro would be the pick, even though, you know, it's like we're seeing in chat. We spent the entire offseason, basically looking for, defensive line, and we got defensive line. And you know, that's why a lot of people are like, why are we taking a defensive tackle in the second round? It's a good question. But I don't know. I think they still would go defensive line here, probably. But, man, I think it's hard to pass up on Rosengarten because I don't know how many offensive tackles are really that great after Rosengarten. I'm not a huge fan on Kieran Emigeji. I have him a fourth-round grade. Blake Fisher could be a guy, you know, that we could address later, but we got to get a nickel corner. So this is one of those times where I think if we don't go offensive tackle, the truth is we're probably not going to go offensive tackle with a draft pick and a guy that's going to be able to make the roster. That's just the way it is. There are offensive guards / interior offensive linemen like Dominic Puni, who I like, Mason McCormick, that we could get for the interior. But when it comes to offensive tackle, we would almost be punting on offensive tackle if we don't go Roger Rosengarten.
All right, let's do it.
You want to go Roger Rosengarten?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, so we're not gonna go. We're gonna go. No defensive tackle here. No Rook might make people a little questionable, but hey, we're gonna address offensive line. Roger Rosengarten's the pick. Rook with the next pick to Arizona. Now we do want to think about potentially trading up because there is guys that we still like. Javon Bullard is a potential. Andrew Phillips. So Phillips is ranked on here as the 86th best player. So we'll see when we need to go up, but it probably is going to be pretty soon. There goes Renardo. Oh, there he went. So we just lost him anyways. Jeez, that happened quick. So now the question is, do we want to trade up still, or do we want to let this thing play out? Bullard is still available. I really like Bullard. We could also go with a defensive lineman like Dwayne Carter, who I like. Now, is he Rook? No, but he's still really good. So let's take a look at the defensive line real quick. Braden Fisk, I watched him a lot. I like him, but you know he can't really hold up to double teams consistently. So when it comes to defensive tackle, that could be a concern. So we could wait a little bit. We'll see where the picks go. So yeah, the Cards took both of our guys, like Josh said. They took Rook and they took Andrew Phillips. Boy, that hurt. And Renardo Green is another guy I really like, but he just went as well. So there goes Cole Bishop, good player. We'll let this thing play out and see what happens. With Andrew Phillips not being there, we'll just let the conversation happen at our next pick. There goes Trevon Willis. That's another guy they're interested in. It's always interesting just to see the players go. The players, you know, there goes Bullard. So we missed out on Bullard. Not interested in that trade. Going back three spots. We'll just ignore it. All right. So, Kieran Emigeji still here. That doesn't surprise me. Here's Dwayne Carter. He's a solid defensive tackle. I do like him. I think because we went offensive line, I don't really expect him to go offensive lineman back-to-back. James Williams, interesting prospect. Marquis is a 6'5" former safety who would be transitioning to linebacker in the NFL. He runs a 4.6 40, but he's got length and size. He's an interesting prospect. Somebody I like. McKinley Jackson, the 49ers just met with. He was one of the late guys that they just brought in. 6'1", 326, a big dude.
Wow.
So that is another guy. But, I mean, there are some guys I like. Here's Kalen King, the corner. But it looks like, I mean, Dwayne Carter is a solid player. And I like him there. Oh, and look, Josh brought up Tavondre Sweat. Mark, he had a DWI about 3 weeks ago. Do you think the 49ers would still have him on the board?
I don't know. They really, since Reuben Foster, they've kind of stayed away from any kind of character issues. Now, Harbaugh and Balky would have swiped him up already, but this regime, they've kind of stayed away from questionable character.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Character issues. So I would tend to think no.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so my pick right here would be Dwayne Carter. He's been one of my favorite guys since I first watched him out of Duke. Explosive first step. He's got a lot of talent at the defensive line position. He's a very intelligent guy. I think I would go with Dwayne Carter. We didn't get Rook in the second round. We decided to go offensive line. It might be time to address defensive line with Dwayne Carter.
Yeah, and I like David here in the chat says, Carter sounds good, team captain, good academics, 49ers like that. 100% agree. They like high character guys. They like smart guys. They like leaders. So I think that would be a great pick.
All right, we're going to go Dwayne Carter. We didn't get Rook. Didn't work out. We went with the offensive lineman. We're going to go defensive tackle here with Dwayne Carter. And we're going to let this thing play out. And I think it's interesting.
Kenny's asking, where did Rosengarten go around 77? He went to us.
Yeah, at 63.
We grabbed him at 63.
Yeah.
So we not quite as low as what he may go in real life. But
yeah, I actually think, you know, a lot of people are still mocking him to the 49ers pretty high. So, you know, it's one of those things where he could still go pretty high. So let's take a look at the board, and we've got Jared Wiley, the tight end. He's pretty good. I know that a lot of people are saying we need to look edge, but here's Theo Johnson as well. And this is an interesting time in the draft because the 49ers are going to pick 124, 132, and 135. So we can literally get three pretty good players here. So the question is, what positions do we want to address? What do you think, Mark?
I definitely like. Where do we go? The first pick.
We went wide receiver. Adonai Mitchell.
So I definitely think. I think we need a corner. With one of these picks. It's a slim position now. But next year, with D'Amador Lenore and with Charvarius Ward being scheduled for free agency, who knows what that position is going to be like next year. It could be terrible next year. So I really hope that they're able to grab a good corner who could step in and play if both or one of those guys leaves next year. So, that's my – that would be my two cents. And by the way, this first pick here is the Trey Lance pick.
Yes, it is.
Let's take a corner and here.
You want to take a corner? Let's do it.
No.
Okay.
I was joking that we should take a quarterback.
Oh, quarterback.
But no, I was kidding.
Yeah. So as cornerbacks, there's a couple of guys that I really like on this list. I like Jerrion Jones. He's an elite athlete, 4.3 speed, changes direction very good. He's really good. And I like Elijah Jones, and Elijah Jones is jumping up a lot of people's boards out of Boston College. We could probably get him with the third of these picks. Jerrion Jones is another guy that I really like. So he's a possibility. Then as far as edge, Josh loves Javon Solomon. He's been talking about him a lot. And we like Muhammad Kamara. Both those guys are elite. Kamara has 4.5 speed. That's his elite trait. I don't know if he's an elite player, but he has an elite trait. So he's got a possibility to be a guy that explodes there. Solomon's thing is he's short. That's the problem with him and the problem with Kamara. They don't have ideal size or speed. Same with Jonah Ellis. They're not guys that normally fit the traditional spot. So I think we could address defensive end. We could address cornerback, and we could address tight end with the next pick, because I think we could go linebacker later. I'm not sure that's a huge thing the 49ers need. So the question mark is, do we want to go, you know, with one of those guys? I do like Mason McCormick, the guard out of South Dakota State, but I think we might need to go other places. So the question will be tight end Theo Johnson or tight end Jared Wiley out of TCU. So Wiley is 6'6", a smooth mover, but Theo Johnson is a more balanced tight end, but he's still 6'5". Both of them run crazy fast, athletic. Both can block. It kind of is one of those things. It's what you want. Now, the chat is saying Theo. What do you think, Mark? Theo, he's the more balanced of the two tight ends.
Yeah, I definitely would go the more balanced of the two.
So we're going to take Theo Johnson at pick 124, the Trey Lance pick, not a quarterback, but could be a nice addition for the San Francisco 49ers. So there goes Theo Johnson. There goes Zach Zinter. I like him. Kyrie Jackson, one of the corners, goes. Wiley goes. And then Jaheim Bell, the tight end. Kansas City gets a tight end for Florida State. That's more like a big slot. So we know we have a couple of positions we still want to go with. We have Jerrion Jones and we have Javon Solomon. Those are the two guys that we've been talking about in chat. And so there's potential there. I like Jerrion Jones, and I know you said we need to get a nickel corner. I would go Jerrion Jones out of the guys that are available. I think he's a solid fit in the nickel, but has the ability, 6 foot. You know, he's got the ability to play outside if you need him. He's a twitchy guy with a little bit of work on his technique. I think he could be a absolute stud in the secondary for the 49ers.
Yeah, let's do it. That's definitely a position that they need.
All right, we're going to go Jerrion Jones, cornerback. There goes Hunter Nerzod. They were talking about him in chat a little bit. That's the center from Penn State. I know a lot of people want the 49ers to take center. I don't know. We might still address it. Miami's offering a haul for 135, three picks. I don't know if we want to address that. I don't think we really want three picks. I think we want to get an edge guy here. So let's look at the available players. We still have safety as well, because I would love to get my hands on, you know, a good safety. Wow, all the my safety, my Tyke Smith is already gone. I do like Trey Taylor, but that's later in the draft, so we don't have to worry about that. Miller Bradford's one of my favorite nickels, even though he's listed as a safety. So let's go to edge. Solomon's there. So, I mean, this is undersized central. Javon Solomon is about 6 foot, 6 foot one. Jonah Ellis, undersized as well. Xavier Thomas, 6'2", undersized. Muhammad Kamara, undersized but speed guy. If you're looking for speed, those are your guys. Now, if you're looking for size, Gabriel Murphy, who's all the way down here, I guess 6'2", 247, another shorter guy. It's tough. So it's one of those things. It comes down to Solomon. For me, I think it's Solomon or Kamara for this draft. I've already taken Jonah Ellis, so I don't want to take him again. So it's Kamara. This would be a little bit high for Kamara, but he's a 4-5 guy. What do you think, Mark? You want to go with a bigger, more physical Solomon? He's only 6 foot 246. or would you like to go with a Kamara who's 6'1", 248, similar size?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about these nickel corner. I mean, I'm sorry, these edge rushers is the size. They just don't, they don't have size beyond those initial guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either of them, but
yeah,
I would pick whichever one you think is going to, because they're going to be a rotational piece, especially in 2024. So whoever you think coming off the bench is going to make the biggest impact.
Yeah, here's what's interesting is David Morazzo says in chat, Bo Richter in the later rounds, he was one of my draft gems. Bo Richter, I like Bo Richter a lot. He's actually almost a carbon copy of what you're going to get from Muhammad Kamara, 4'5", 40-inch vertical leap. He's out of Air Force. Dude is a specimen. I've been meeting with Philadelphia and Baltimore. They see him as a potential guy that could come in and fill the Hassan Reddick role. I would like Bo Richter late, but right here, if I'm going edge rusher, I'll probably go with Solomon, even though I haven't taken him. Interesting player. He played in a three-man front, didn't really play a lot of outside, so it would be projecting. But let's have a little fun. Let's go Javon Solomon at 135. So we get an edge guy. Different than what I've done before, and now we're coming up on pick 176, and it's going to go probably a lot faster now.
So Brendan Rice and Luke McCaffrey are both gone.
Yeah, that's the thing. They kind of fall off once you go like we did, wide receiver in the first round. So there goes Jalen Wright, a good running back. Ray Davis, one of my favorite running backs in the draft. I love the way he runs. So here we are. We're coming up to 176. So we got Ketan Oladapo out of Oregon State. He's a big safety. He's on the board. 49ers like the running back here, Isaac Girardando, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of him at all. I can't see myself pulling the trigger for the 49ers. he doesn't do it. Here's still Muhammad Kamara. He's still available. Here's Trey Taylor, one of the safeties I like. And then we know that they really like Sione Vaki. They've met with Sione Vaki a lot. You know, this might be a little early for Vaki, but because the 49ers don't pick from 211. Or until 211, this might be a player that you have to take now because you could miss him. So when it comes to defense and it comes to the safety position, I mean, I like Taylor and I like Vaki, and they're pretty close together. To me, I think this might be a position where we go with safety, and I think we might go with Sione Vaki already because, I mean, he's a playmaker. And the thing I like about Sione Vaki compared to other guys is he's a guy that can play multiple positions. He played at Utah in the box as like a linebacker. He played safety. He also played running back. And so Vaki's a very interesting talent. It just finds itself around the ball a lot. So I think that, you know, Sione Vaki would be the pick here. I do want to look because David's asking about wide receivers. We did go wide receiver earlier. There's, you know, this Jordan Whittington would be a guy that would be interesting. He's a lot like Juwan Jennings. Ananias Smith was one of my draft gems. He's got return game potential, 4'5", smaller guy, 5'9", 190 pounds. But those guys we could go with later. So I think it has to be safety, and I think it's going to be Sione Vaki.
Yeah, definitely I'm all in for safety here. They're going to draft a safety, I believe, and I think that they'll probably sign a safety as an undrafted free agent because we don't know what Talanoa Hufanga is going to look like coming back from the injury. Maybe he comes back to that all-pro level, or maybe he doesn't. Either way, he's scheduled to be a free agent after this season, so they're going to need to find another safety who could potentially start.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a thing. They right now they have a hole at safety, so it has to be addressed. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. They've met with Vaki a lot. I think he's an intriguing prospect. So ultimately, that's where we go. Even though my guy, Trey Taylor, this isn't about me, though. This is about the 49ers. And Trey Taylor probably would have been my pick because I really like him out of Air Force. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do, 49ers, you know, lens. So let's take a look and see what's best on the board. We went safety. We've went offensive tackle. We went defensive tackle. I think now you're kind of just starting to look for best player available. Interesting player here, Carson Steele out of UCLA would be a interesting running back choice here. He's big. He's almost 230 pounds, but he runs a 4.5 40, pretty athletic, and catch the ball in the backfield. To me, he's a very interesting prospect, and this might be the time the 49ers actually start thinking about going with running back. Tylan Grable out of UCF. Big old long guy, over 6'6". And then here's Austin Reed, quarterback I like. But here's Ananias Smith again. If we're looking for a return guy, this would be one of those guys, Mark. I mean, 5'9", 190 pounds. He's one of those guys that does stuff, you know, in the backfield. He has experience as wide receiver and running back. He was one of my late-round guys that I really liked in my Draft Gems episode. If you're going to go to wide receivers, we went with the big, athletic, crazy X. Mm-hmm. Maybe we go with a guy that has return game potential.
Yeah, and David even said it in the chat that we need a returner, and the fact that he can line up in the backfield or line up at receiver sounds like a Kyle Shanahan kind of guy. So I think that might be a great pick.
So let's go with Smith here. We got our potential return guy and a guy that, like Kyle likes, has a lot of position versatility. And then this is interesting because David brought it up that Steele could be a juice backup. And that is one thing I've thought about Carson Steele, because they've had question marks about where he exactly fits. The 49ers have a...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Roster spot at running back, where they could potentially put a big physical guy like Carson Steele, who's just an interesting guy. But I think he needs to improve his blocking a lot to be a fullback. But he could be talented enough to take a shot at and bring him in and just see what he's got. I mean, 6'2", 230, but runs a 4.5. That's a lot of a size for a guy running. Makes a lot of sense as an H-back, fullback-type player. So to me, he would be a guy that I think the 49ers could be interested in. They got bigger running backs already, Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason. To me, he would make sense too.
Yeah, that sounds like a good pick to me.
So we got that, and then they wanted me to look at edge real quick, and there are lots of edge guys. We can we'll address that at 251. We'll just go ahead and take the running back here. I like Carson Steele, so we'll do that. And then we got to wait till 251, and we'll make our last pick. We'll just see who's on the board. We could go edge rusher and get one of those guys if, you know, one of these guys is available at edge. Gabriel Murphy's still available. He'll probably end up going before we get to pick, but he's a good selection. And then, you know, Braden McGregor has got a lot of length. This was a guy who was a five-star recruit, 6'5", 257. He's got a lot of size, has moved inside. He's an interesting guy. I like him as well. And we're going to get way down here is where you're going to find, you know, some of the guys. The one guy that I like, and I don't even see him on here, Bo Richter. Maybe he got already. Looks like it froze. I don't know what's going on over here. Oh, I must have paused it. There we go. Somehow I accidentally paused the draft. Apologies to everybody. But Braden McGregor, I know a lot of people don't like him, but he's a guy that I like, and they talk very highly of him. You know, the guys at the Senior Bowl, so he might be someone they're interested in. And Josh says they met with McGregor at the Senior Bowl. It's not going to take me a lot to go with McGregor because I really like his film. So I think if we're going to double up Edge, I say we go with McGregor here for our last pick.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Brady McGregor is the 49ers' last selection, 6'5", a bigger defensive end. So we addressed the defensive end twice in this draft. And I think we got a pretty good haul. I'll go ahead and download it. But get rid of the downloads here. But here we go. Here's our picks. Pick 31, wide receiver Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Pick 63, Roger Rosengarten, offensive tackle from Washington. At 94, Dwayne Carter, defensive tackle from Duke. 124, Theo Johnson, tight end, Penn State. 132, Jerrion Jones, cornerback, Florida State. At 135, addressed edge with Javon Solomon, the edge from Troy. 176, Sione Vaki, safety out of Utah, the versatile player. 211, went back to wide receiver with Ananias Smith, wide receiver, Texas A&M, to be a receiver and return guy. 215, running back, Carson Steele, with a lot of flexibility, big running back. And then 251, Brady McGregor, the fact he's still there, 6'5", almost 270 pounds with a lot of length. I think it was a pretty good draft, Mark.
Yeah, I think that I think we did pretty well. It'll be interesting to see how this draft compares to what they actually do. I know that Brian Peacock, I don't know if he does it anymore, but he used to do his own shadow draft and would compare who he took or would have taken he would compare it to what the 49ers did, you know, like years down the road. And he often did a better job than the 49ers did. This was more in the Balky era, but yeah, I think that looks good. Like, so at 31, with who's going to be available, who do you want to see them grab at 31?
I think, you know, I would love for them to be able to get a player that can make an impact on the 2024 season. And, you know, I think the most likely would be, you know, one of the elite edge players. I don't think any of them are going to be available. So it's going to have to be a cornerback that can help this year, a nickel corner, or potentially a wide receiver. And a lot of times, you know, people wonder why you don't go offensive line, because a backup offensive lineman doesn't have the off chance to get on the field as much as wide receiver 3 or 4. Wide receiver 4 is going to make an impact more during a season than backup, you know, tackle usually.
Yeah.
So I think it would have to be somebody like that. And if you have the potential to get one of these elite wide receivers, I think it's too tempting, especially with the question marks about Juwan Jennings. Just next year with Juwan Jennings moving on, you would save money at wide receiver 3. He's going to make over $4 million. Your guy you get at 31 is going to make just over 3. To me, it does make sense to start preparing for the eventual replacements for Jennings and even Debo if you have to at some point.
Yeah, Kenny in the chat said, O-line, 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 O-line. I think I would be surprised if they go O-line at 31, because I just don't know if the guys that they have with first-round grades are going to be there. So I think that those that are wanting first round offensive line might end up being disappointed. I wouldn't mind seeing Cooper DeJean fall to 31 and the 49ers grab him. I think that they need a corner. They need a talented corner, and I think that he might be a really good one to fit in, not only this year, but next year with whatever happens to the two starters.
Yeah, I think cornerback is the most likely to be available, for there to be a guy that has a first-round grade available at 31. To me, cornerback could be the right way to go. You know, just like Kenny said in chat, you know, two expiring contracts coming up. They got to rework a deal with Yamador Lenore or even with Mooney Ward. They got to get this thing figured out. And we know they still have question mark at nickel. Isaac Yedem, good player. I like that. Rock Ya-Sin, good player. I like that. But for the future, you've got to make sure you're continuing to bring players in. Like John Lynch said in his press conference, guys who are 1 or 2 years away from needing to make an impact. Mm-hmm. Offensive line is always going to be the gravitational pull for 49ers fans. and that's understandable. I just don't think where you're at 31, that the exact player that you need is going to hit. I don't think one of those offensive tackles that is going to be available is going to be somebody that can help you this year. And that's the real problem with the way that things are going, is how quickly can those guys get on the field? So if one of those guys fall, if JC Latham or, you know, one of those guys happen to fall, 100% all four of the 49ers going offensive line. But if they don't, I don't really like taking that next group, Jordan, Kingsley. I like those guys later. And I think when you're getting into that, you might as well go with a guy like Roger Rosengarten later, who shows the extreme athleticism and is a good pass blocker. I don't know. To me, it's after that, it becomes a little bit more nervous for offensive line in this draft.
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't think that they're going to trade up for a tackle. I just don't see that happening this year. But that's all that I have. Any last thoughts? We're close to, let's see, what, we're 27 hours or something like that away from the start of the NFL draft. Any final thoughts that you have?
Yeah, a couple of things. First off, this is going to be fun because we know what the 49ers are going to do. They're going to do something different than what all the fans want, so it's going to make for some interesting takes. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But the season really kicks off. I know that the league year started and the free agency, but this is where you finish filling those holes. And I think this is going to be really fun. I think everyone's going to get in the spirit of it. And if you want to watch the live stream live, I'm going to be on with John Chapman days 1 and 2 on 49ers Rush. So join me over there. We're going to be doing that. Of course, after I'm going to do my recaps and all that. But join me over there for days 1 and 2. And if you're a crazy draft person like me, day 3, I'm going to go live the entire time. So hop on over for day 3, a wild adventure. People have come in with me all the time. It's a lot of fun. So days 1 and 2, I'm with Chapman. Day 3, I'm on my own on 49ers Cutback. Come check it out.
Yeah, and if you ever read anything that I write at 49ers Web Zone, you'll see that I have a couple of guys that whenever I need somebody to break down some film, John Chapman and Anthony Robertson are my go-to guys. So having those two team up for the draft, that's pretty cool. I definitely will try to check in with y'all at some point. So let's see. I just saw somebody, Lou, asking, did you discuss getting a wide receiver because of the Detroit signing? Said he's late to the party here. Here's what we went with. Adonai Mitchell at pick number 31 was one of the receivers. Then we took Smith. I can't tell where he's at.
That was, I think that was pick 211.
Yeah. So yeah, there it is, 211. So we did take two receivers, and we really didn't do it because of the Detroit thing. I still think that the 49ers get something done with Brandon Ayuk, so I don't think that he's going anywhere. But, hey, that's all that we have. Be sure to check out Ant with John Chapman tomorrow and Friday during the draft. And we'll be back here a week from today discussing who the 49ers have picked and maybe even get into some of the undrafted guys as well. We may save that for a different day. But thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys all in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.